And all the time, I pray that you came with anticipation this morning. As I'm just carrying out this theme in my spirit, I believe in November we're going to do a sermon series called Come On, God. We're going to talk about the power and the work of the Holy Spirit and how God wants to be more a part of our life and how we can approach God and be hungry for more of Him in our life as well. And so I just wanted to start the message this morning with a shout to God of a belief in our heart of what we want this morning, that we want more of Him and we want to hear from more of Him this morning. So if you would just shout with me on the count of three, come on, God, I believe that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience a fresh awakening in our souls and to allow God's Word to penetrate our hearts, the lyrics of the music that we sang this morning to make a difference in our week and to allow Holy Communion to sink into our spirits. You ready? One, two, three. Come on, God. All right, I think God's ready. You ready? You ready to jump in on this? We're wrapping up a sermon series today, and we've been talking about choices. And the important part about understanding our choices is that, and you've heard this before, today we are probably the sum total of all the decisions and choices that we've made up until this point. And that could go all the way back to childhood, teenagerdom, adulthood, grandparentinghood, working, now retirement, all those days that we've made choices, we are the sum total today of those choices that we've made in the past. Now, if that would be true, then isn't it possible that the choices that we make today will have a significant impact on who we are and what we can do tomorrow? And if that be the case, then today in this sermon series, we want to specifically talk about some very, very simple choices. The choice today that we're looking at is we're going to learn to choose the important over the urgent. I mean, you ever get to the point where you wish that you had more time to do something that's really important, but you just don't feel like you had the time to do it? I mean, maybe for you, it's you want to read more. Or maybe you want to write a book that you've been putting off. Maybe you want to date your spouse more, just haven't had time for it. Maybe you want to serve more and bless people more. Maybe you know you need to exercise more. You want to spend more time with your kids or your grandkids. Or maybe you have a really important hobby that you just haven't been able to spend time doing that you know would replenish your soul. Because you say in the back of your mind, I want to do all those things, but heck, I've got the lawn to mow, I've got meetings to go to, I've got kids to raise, and I got to check my social media on my apps on a regular basis, because if I don't, who will? And we just decide that there's not enough time, and whenever somebody asks you how you're doing, or you ask somebody how you're doing, what's the universal response in America today? How are you doing? I'm busy. How are things going? I'm busy. Well, how's life treating you? How are the kids? Oh, we're busy. How's the family? We're busy. How's work? Well, I'm just busy. We also respond with I'm fine, because that just kind of gives them the quick answer so we don't have to continue on in that part of that conversation. But it's I'm busy. You hear it everywhere you go. You ever have a chance to say, hey, you know, how's life going? And say, oh, I'm just so relaxed. You ever hear that as a response? I'm just so blessed. Oh, I just had some great family time recently. You know, I haven't been burnt out at work too much. Do you know that Satan and the enemy uses busyness as a tool? Because his goal is to get us caught up in our life in the things that really don't matter so that we miss out on the important things that God has established for you and for me. So I want to invite you, if you're taking notes, to get those out. You can find those in your bulletin. And at the bottom, it'll give you instructions on how to do that electronically as well if you love using your smartphone for that. And I want to give you this first thought for today. Shout out to Cannon, here we go. We have time for what we choose to have time for. How you spend your time is a choice. And when someone asks us about whether you can do this or we can do that or how things are going, you're saying, I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. And our busyness is a choice. The problem is that we say we have time to do something important. You choose, when you say you don't have time to do something important, you choose one thing over choosing something else. And it's something that we ought to think about and realize. We have time for what we choose to have time for. And if you're taking notes, we will choose today the important over the urgent. And we're going to do that with God's help. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, well, what's the difference between what's important and what's urgent? We're going to talk about that today because there is definitely a distinction. The urgent is something that we're facing right now. And the choice that we can make today will impact significantly something that's far bigger than that and something that's much more important in our life. For example, some of you have owned your own businesses and continue to do so, and maybe you've had an upset customer, or you've been somewhere and you can tell that there's an upset customer at the countertop. Now, what's urgent is for the store owner to take care of the needs of that customer. But what's more important is for that owner to take the time to create better systems to be able to have better customer care and service. Amen? That's an example of the urgent over the important and choosing importance over urgency. Something else that's rather urgent is when your car engine blows up and you need to go to the shop. Some of you are cringing because I just spoke into your world right now. You know, you have auto repairs and significant issues with your engine. That is urgent. But what is most important about your car is regular maintenance. What's most important about your car is making sure that the oil is changed on a regular basis, making sure the tranny fluid is good, that filters are changed. You know, I've been battling through continuation of pneumonia, been diagnosed with pleurisy even this week and inflammation of the lungs. I was meeting with a pulmonologist, and I was even reminded of this myself about the important over the urgent. Because as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, there are all kinds of things that feel urgent all day long. Can I get a witness? I mean, there's all day long, things feel urgent. But for me, what's been most important is to try to get some rest and to recover from this illness. And that's hard. I'm a bad patient. And I'm looking at a lot of bad patients out there. I know some of you, you're just stubborn in that way. And my pulmonologist said, listen, you got to kind of balance what's urgent, what feels urgent over what's most important. When you choose the urgent, you're choosing to miss the important. It's on us. Our busyness is on us. You know, another example for me is, when I'm hanging out with the kids at the house and it's time, I'm not here at the office, I'm there building relationships and hanging out with the family and loving on each other, and then I feel like I got to check my phone. This thing feels so urgent all the time, right here. Emails, text messages, you know, I get hit up on Facebook about questions about the church or this and that. It always feels so urgent. But I'm here to tell you, there's not a lot of important things necessarily on this thing, this device. It makes us feel urgent. So sometimes I sacrifice the important with my kids sitting right there in front of me, and I'm sitting literally working on an email or responding to a text message, and Elizabeth is shaking my leg saying, Dad, would you do a puzzle with me? You know, Dad, would you read this book with me? Dad, let's go do something. And I'm saying, hold on, honey. Hold on a second. Let me just get this. Why? Because it's urgent. This feels so urgent. And yet the importance is standing right in front of me. Now, I know none of you can relate to this. This is just me, you know, battling this cellular addiction here. But it is another example of choosing the urgent over what might be most important. Hey, so let's look at a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 10. If you want to take a look at your notes and look up on the screen here, it's in verses 38 to 40. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. You guys remember the story of Mary and Martha? Verse 39. This is a good one. This is a good life lesson. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted. If you have a pen in your hand, I want you to underline that part. But Martha was distracted. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not the only one. By all the preparations that had to be made, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care about the fact that my sister Mary has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And so Martha is doing exactly what most of you and I struggle with, and that is she is surrendering to the urgent. She's freaking out. I mean, she's all messed up inside about what she feels like is very urgent. Everything is right in front of her. This stuff has to be done, and it has to be done this way. And who could blame her? I mean, Jesus himself has come over to the house. He's sitting in her house. When was the last time you had a really important house guest come to the house? I remember the blessing of having Gaston and Jean and Tumbo stay the night, two nights in a row at our house. Back in August, we were blessed to be able to have them here at our church to speak about what's going on in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and our continued connectionalism with them in the West Ohio Conference of the United Methodist Church around the Wings of the Morning Ministry. And I'm here to tell you, before they got into the house, we changed the bedding in the spare bedroom. We put out fresh towels. I had to clean and swab the toilet downstairs, everybody's favorite job to do. The wife came down for an inspection, and Aaron said, okay, that looks good, but you need to touch this up again. I got the vacuum cleaner out. I took all the cats and threw them down the stairs. Cat toys. I took all the cat toys and I threw them down the stairs into the basement. I mean, we cleaned up. We kind of did a once-over through the house. Why? Because, well, Gaston and Gianna Tumbo are really blessed people, and we wanted them to be able to walk into a real nice experience. Let me ask you something. What do you think would happen if Jesus was coming over? You think it'd be a little bit more intense than that? I think a lot of us get down on Martha in this situation, but quite frankly, if we're honest, we'd all respond the same way. Jesus himself is coming over to sit in my living room. I've got to get all these things tidied. I got to make sure the dishes are done, the house is clean, the carpet is vacuumed, that the nap and the carpeting is going the proper way, because God is coming. So you can imagine and just even feel in your spirit what Martha might be going through. But I love what it says here. It says that she was distracted. You ever get distracted? I'll be sitting in my office working on a sermon, and all of a sudden, I need to look up a reference on the internet for something that I'm preaching on, and then I check my email, and there's an email, and now I'm into the email, and I'm working on responding to the email or whatever that is, and all of a sudden I've forgotten what I was researching, I've forgotten the idea that I had, and I've forgotten where God was leading me in that message. You ever find yourself in that moment? You get distracted, and you can't figure out what you were supposed to be doing. I'll be walking through the house, going to a room to do something, and all of a sudden I'll find myself standing in the center of the house in the living room wondering, what was it I was going to do? I don't know what caught my attention. Sometimes it's not even anything. I'll just walk through the house, and I get distracted by something on TV or something that one of the kids says, and all of a sudden, I forget exactly what I was going to go do. I believe all of us can relate to this moment where we've all been distracted. And the Bible says that Martha is distracted. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. I've got to get that done. And not only is she distracted, but I love this piece where she goes to Jesus to tattle on her sister. To tattle on her sister to say, Jesus, you need to tell her to help me. She's not helping me. And that happens in our household a lot when you have young people running around your house. Maybe not in yours, but in ours. You know, my two youngest, the two young girls, Isabel and Elizabeth, they've got this thing going on when we tell them to brush their teeth, and Isabel will be on her way to the bathroom to brush her teeth, and she'll be turning around seeing where Elizabeth is. Ma, tell Elizabeth she's supposed to brush her teeth too. Or we say, hey, listen, we need help cleaning up the table, and one is kind of off into their room already, and the other one's stuck around to help clean the table off after the dinner dishes. Guess what? We're hearing as parents. Well, how come Isabel doesn't have to help? Look what I'm doing. Hey, go tell her that she needs to do this. Or when we tell them it's time to put their laundry away after we folded it, and say, girls, you know, it's time to put the laundry away, guess what they're doing? They're making sure that the other person is in their room doing the very same thing. You know, I think even as adults, we kind of keep an eye out for what's going on around us and who's doing what. And based on who does what, we're going to determine what we do. And what we do, we're going to look around at other people to say, why aren't they doing these kinds of things? And so Martha throws a fit to Jesus. She literally goes to Jesus and complains not only to him, but I believe is complaining that Jesus isn't doing what he's supposed to do. It's not just that she's complaining that Mary's not doing what she's supposed to do, but Martha is literally saying, Jesus, why aren't you grabbing a hold of this situation? Why aren't you condemning what Mary's doing right now? Why aren't you telling her she needs to get off of her rear end and do something about this? That's kind of like when we sit around and look at other people. Well, why aren't more people doing something to save this world? You know, and sometimes Jesus says, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do people go on mission trips overseas? Why don't they do something here at home? Well, what are you doing? Are you doing something here at home? Well, why do people always just serve here at home and they don't care about people around the world? What are you doing? Are you going around the world? I think sometimes it's so easy to look at not only what we think we're doing, but to judge others in it and what we're doing. And that's kind of where Martha is. So here's a question. Like so many of us, we get so distracted from what's most important, and we're guilty of pursuing the urgent to the neglect of the important. And here's another thought, a question actually. What important thing have you been distracted from doing? Make it personal. Have you been distracted from spending time with Jesus, getting into his word and putting him first and allowing him to speak into your heart and aligning your heart with his? Are you busy doing things for your children and having very little time and being able to invest importantly into your family? Does your schedule and your household all revolve around your kids to the neglect of the rock that holds your family together, the foundation of your family, maybe your marriage? Is it possible that you've been so busy doing for your children to the neglect of the thing that actually will strengthen and nourish your children and your family? Have you neglected the importance of your health? You have no time. And so because you have no time, you don't eat right, you don't live right, you don't exercise right, the fast food gets all your business, there's no time to exercise. You would love to take a walk, which would be important, but the urgent has overcome. Maybe for you it's reading or journaling or writing. And it just seems like everything keeps you from being able to do that, and you constantly choose the urgent over those important things. Let's go back to that story with Martha and Mary. Here's Jesus' response in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 to 42. "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." I want you to underline where he says, "you are upset." The word upset about many things. Going on, Mary has chosen what is better. I want you to underline that word too, what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Let me read it again. "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Can we just be honest with each other here today? We freak out about a lot of things, don't we? We get all worked up inside. We get all jammed up inside in our hearts and in our minds about a lot of stuff. And we're not going to get everything done that we want to be able to get done. We don't know how we're going to get the kids to all of their ECAs, their extracurricular activities. Honey, didn't you notice that the toilet paper roll was empty? Couldn't you at least put a new roll of toilet paper on there? You ever walk in the bathroom and wonder who leaves the empty, what do you call that thing? The empty cardboard filler of a toilet paper roll on there. Why wouldn't you just put another one on there? And we get all worked up about it. Hey, that person took my spot. I was going to park there at the local place that we're going shopping. You know, the grass needs mowed. I got a scratch on my car. Why is there always toothpaste residue in the sink? I mean, the list goes on and on and on about the stuff we get all worked up about. We get so upset about it. And for Martha, it's like, listen, I got to tidy up in this place. Mary needs to help me. I got to make sure that the pillows look good, that the bed sheets are all straightened out. And Jesus says, hold on a second, let me speak into your life and everybody here today. There's only one thing that really matters. There's only a few things that are needed. And he says, really, really ultimately in the end, there's only one thing you ought to really get worked up about making sure is a priority in your life on a regular basis. And so Mary's made a choice. And God says that it's a better choice. I love that. I love it when he says, Mary has chosen what is better. Jesus literally says, your busyness or your ability to choose what is important is a choice, because Mary made a better choice. She made the important choice. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's not going to be taken away from this opportunity that she has. They had a choice. See, not only did Mary have a choice, but Martha had a choice, and so do you, and so do I. You have a chance to choose what you have time for. You have time for what you choose to have time for. And so here's three practices, three tools that might be able to help us get this right and manage our time, manage our energy, and for a lot of you, manage your leadership, whether you're leading a household or leading in your place of work or leading in the classroom, wherever it might be. If you're taking notes, how do you choose the important? Here's the first one right away. Number one, create artificial deadlines. Create artificial deadlines. Yes, it's a fake and a false deadline. For example, in reality, when is my sermon due? In reality, my sermon due is due at 8:14 on Sunday morning, okay? My sermon is, in reality, due at 8:14 on Sunday morning, but I personally create an artificial deadline for myself, and for me, typically, it's 6 weeks out. 6 weeks out, I'm going to have my sermon done and written. I'm going to have it off to both of our worship team leaders, so they have it, to our media team leaders, to Missy in our office so she can prepare for the bulletin, for our communications team so that they know what kind of sermon series is coming up and we can prep it, but also, honestly, for myself as well, so I can tackle something that's important ahead of time so I can do what? Focus on other things that are important that come my way throughout that next month. You see, writing a sermon is too important for me to leave until the last minute. And because of that, getting it done 6 weeks in advance frees me to be able to focus on other important tasks as well, like being a great dad, like leading a great church, like being a good husband, and just all around having a peace of mind and being able to have my mind focus on more of what God wants to do. It's an artificial deadline, and it frees me of an important task so that I can continue to give energy to other important tasks. Because if all we have is important tasks constantly hanging over our heads, constantly just the weight of important tasks everywhere, deadlines tomorrow, deadlines in an hour, we won't be able to put significant focus or give good work to anything. We'll feel the weight of being pulled in 100 different directions. So maybe you've got a report due. The report's due on Friday, and you're going to create an artificial deadline to say, I'm going to have it done on Wednesday. Why Wednesday? Well, because the Buckeyes are playing on Thursday night. And you got to have your priorities, the urgent over the important. And you look at your schedule and say, I'm not waiting until Thursday night to write this. I'm not waiting until Friday morning to put the finishing touches. My artificial deadline, even though it's not due until Friday, is going to be Wednesday. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to start working on it, and I'm going to write it a week in advance because it's too important to let go. You know, maybe you're packing for a trip and you're leaving on Saturday. Some of you, this is gonna hit too close to home. You're leaving on a Saturday. You know, you're not going to wait until Saturday morning before the plane takes off. I talked to a couple of people that travel with me to Vietnam on our mission trip, and they're literally starting to pack the night before. For a two-week experience in Vietnam, 12 hours on the other side of the world, for me, that just gives me the shakes. I mean, I start packing a month in advance. I just lay stuff out. I just add to it as I go. I'm done packing 2 days in advance because what? It allows my mind to be able to now focus on other more important things. So you're going to create an artificial deadline. You're going to say, I'm not waiting until Saturday to pack. I'm going to be done packing by Friday night, and I'm going to start packing the previous Wednesday because a deadline allows you to be free of an important task to have energy for other important tasks. Like for our teenagers, you know, our teenagers, when it comes to taking a shower, we say, listen, you know, theoretically, you could shower all day long if you wanted to. I mean, theoretically, you could take, I don't know how much hot water is in a 40-gallon hot water tank. 2 hours? An hour? You ever try it out? I don't know. But we give them an artificial deadline. You got 15 minutes. Now, I've discovered in 15 minutes, you can get a whole lot of body parts washed. Amen? And so I say, listen, you have a 15-minute deadline. Now, that's an artificial deadline, but we give it to them so it speeds up the process from the urgent into the important. You know, for me, I put a hard stop on my day around 4 p.m. Now, I'm one of the first people into the office every morning. I'm here early, but I learned to put a hard stop at 4 p.m. so I can get home and help prepare supper and be able to have dinner with the family. And that prepares me for a couple of things. It prepares me to answer emails, work on text messages that come that evening, respond to the urgent here at the church, get to an evening meeting if I need to. But it also allows me to have an artificial deadline that says, you know, today's important because honestly, the work is never done. The work is just never done. You have jobs like that. You have careers like that where the work is never done. And if you wanted to stay until the work was done, you'd never leave your place. You'd never see your family. And I'm speaking to some of you right now that haven't seen your family in a while because you're just always, always working. And what it does is it allows me to prioritize the important over the urgent. You know, just because you think you have all day doesn't mean you should live that way. And by having a hard stop at 4 o'clock, it allows me to say to myself during the day, I don't have all day to get this done. So I work more efficiently, make decisions more briskly and hand them off to people that can take care of those kinds of things. And it frees me up to put energy into important places like other work and things at home. So number one, create an artificial deadline. Number two, be ruthlessly selective in your yeses if you're taking notes. Be ruthlessly selective in your yeses. Let's be careful and prayerful with our yeses. You see, the barrier to the abundant life is not a lack of commitment. Quite frankly, for a lot of us, the barrier to an abundant life is overcommitment. You're just doing way too much. Because when someone asks you how you're doing or how are things, your response is, I'm busy. And they're busy. And you're busy. And your family's busy. And busyness does not equal productivity. Busyness doesn't even equal fruitfulness. Did you know that busyness doesn't always lead to meaning in life, and it doesn't lead to lasting fulfillment? And so rather than a larger to-do list, I'm going to give you something that this is going to preach to you. You don't need a larger to-do list. Some of you need a to-don't list. Some of you are like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Pastor, you just set me free. You need a larger to-don't list. Now, it doesn't mean you shirk your responsibilities, but you need to learn to be ruthlessly selective with your yeses. And rather than a larger to-do list, you need a growing to-don't list. I'm going to say no to good things so I can do even greater things. For me, how does that work? A couple of examples. For me, 9 a.m. on Thursday morning is untouchable. I meet with a group of pastors here locally. We meet at the Salvation Army. I meet with pastors in other denominations. I have another United Methodist pastor coming, but what I get great joy out of and such fulfillment is praying for God's revival and awakening in our churches, in our community, in our nation with those folk. And I'm not going to miss it. And I won't schedule an appointment. I won't schedule a time to meet one-on-one with one of you. I just won't do it at 9 o'clock. I'll do it before, I'll do it after. But it's a hard stop for me. I'm not scheduling anything. I'm being ruthlessly selective with any yes that includes taking up 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Now, what would that be for you? I don't know. But that's just one example for me in my life. We need to be ruthlessly selective with our yeses. And a lot of times when I talk to churches, pastors of large churches, even larger than ours, or even for myself, you know, the question always arises, how do you do it all? And what we learn to do in leadership, and you have this same thing in your business or your household or wherever, is we've learned to say no to good things and delegate to others who are capable of doing even better with those things. And the best leaders and teachers and dads and mothers and moms out there that are followers of Jesus, you don't do more, you just do more of what matters most. We got to learn to do more of what matters most. And so, number one, we're going to create artificial deadlines. Number two, we're going to be ruthlessly selective in our yeses. And number three, we're going to do first, if you're taking notes, what matters most. After all, that's what Jesus challenged Martha and Mary to do. We're going to do first what matters most. Not if I have time to, not if life slows down, because life is going to slow down, right? Has life ever slowed down for anybody? I mean, even in retirement, I talked to people in retirement, I said, gosh, I thought life was going to get easier and less busy when I retired, but gosh, when I retired, things just got crazy. My schedule's full, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Listen, there will never be a time in your life where life slows down. That is a lie from the enemy. That's like a married couple that says, we just want to make sure we have enough money before we have kids. That's why we don't have kids yet. That's baloney. Listen, you're never going to feel like you have enough money. Just do what God's calling you to do. It's never going to be a moment in your life where you feel like you're going to have enough time to do everything you want to do. Life is never going to slow down. And so Jesus just tackles that. He says, so bottom line, make sure you prioritize what matters the most. And what Jesus is saying is that Mary made a better choice. There's only one thing that really matters. And he's saying, it's time with me, Jesus is saying. Time with him, sitting at the feet of the masters. And so many Christ followers like you and me, it's difficult to prioritize and align our, prioritize aligning our hearts toward God every single day. And the way that we do that is by seeking God first, seeking him first in the morning and letting his word, letting his word seep into our hearts and our souls, praying and talking to God and hearing from him as a regular part of our life. It is human nature to fill our schedule with more on the outside, to the neglect of the things that are most important on the inside. And so if you love Jesus, God wants you to seek him every single day. First thing. But you don't. Some of us, you love Jesus, and it's so hard. You love Jesus, but you're not seeking him first thing. You're tired, you're busy. And what you need is what's the most important for your day. A day that's filled with urgency. A day that's going to be full of tasks and struggles and challenges. I love what Bill Hybels used to say. He wrote a book on prayer, and it was called Too Busy Not to Pray. Too Busy Not to Pray. Some of us say, I don't have time to pray. I'm just too busy. Well, if your life is so busy, you better be praying because you got a lot of stuff that's coming your way, and we need to get with God first. God, I want more of you. God, I need more of you in my life. And it's so easy. We have good intentions to get into God's word and to pray, but we just get so busy and we put it off and then it doesn't happen. We need him to start every day, a word to renew our mind and a word that would align our hearts with his, a word that could possibly align our hearts with his. I'm not talking about a Bible study. I'm not talking about a half an hour of prayer. For me, the first thing that I do before I get on social media, before I go, because that's the first thing you do in the morning is you check your phone. What's the temperature outside? What kind of emails did I get? What happened on ESPN last night? And I've trained myself to say, the very first thing I'm going to do, even if it's for 30 seconds, is I'm going to the YouVersion Bible app, I'm going to the Scripture of the Day, and I'm reading the Scripture of the Day. And then I'm going to post it on Facebook just as an accountability piece for myself to say, you know what, John, you didn't forget to get that done. There it is. And to share that good piece of word with other people in my life. But I'm going to get in, and it may take 30 seconds, it may take a minute, sometimes I'll take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just pour over that scripture and pray and talk to God. Very first thing in my life to renew my mind and to align my heart with God. And it can be the same for you. Some of you say, yeah, but my best time is at night to have a quiet time with God. Well, have that, do that. But I would encourage you in the morning, even if that's you, before you do anything else, just read one verse. Just give your morning to God. God, I'm here. I need you. God, guide my day. And watch what happens. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? Well, according to Jesus, it's everything else. Everything. Mowing the lawn, getting the kids to the ECAs, going to work, being productive at work, having a great marriage, having a great household, tidying things up, having a clean house, whatever it might be, whatever it might be. All those things will happen if you would first start with God. Everything else in your life, just if he's just saying, listen, here's the one thing to get yourself all worked up about, to make it a priority in your life. If you seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, all these other things will be given to you, will align as well. You know, when we seek something else first, you know, if we start with an email, if we start with social media, you know, it's just so easy to get on with the rest of our day and we just forget to even to get with God. But oftentimes in those lives, those moments, we wonder why our life that day just doesn't seem like it feels like it matters as much as it should. Or maybe the meaning has been lost in that day, or maybe we're just miserable that day. Maybe it's because fruitful and abundant, joy-filled living comes when we seek him first in his word, and we seek him first, when we seek him first in prayer. Get on the YouVersion Bible app. Go to the daily verse. Open the daily bread. Grab an upper room that we have out on our grow wall there. They're free. And live according to his purpose and plan for us every single day. God, use me today. And start each day with that. So we're going to put first what matters most on our calendars first. We're going to put on our calendars what matters the most, and we're going to put it there first. Dinner with the family, exercising, date night with your spouse, your quiet time with God, a prayer meeting, whatever that might be. Those things are going to go on first. Listen, you can't live reacting to your day. You can't live reacting to your day. Don't let the urgent run your life. You got to choose what is important. You got to choose what's important, and you got to struggle to do so. I remember when Aaron and I were looking at foster care and adoption, and we had to prioritize 12 weeks worth of 3-hour classes on a Wednesday night, and we were busy people. And I couldn't look at the adoption agent and say, yeah, we'd love to adopt some kids or do foster care, but we're just too busy. Because she would look at us and say, you just need to adjust your priorities. Whoa, that's exactly what we needed to do in our spirit. So we did. And we made the important a priority over the urgent. A lot of you struggle with cleaning your house. People are coming over. You know, for us, it's our life group. On Thursday nights, we have our life group at our house. And that's one of the ways that we choose to grow in our relationship with God and with others. And we've just decided and determined we're not worrying about vacuuming the carpeting. We're not worrying about putting all the cat toys downstairs necessarily. We'll get out a couple chairs and make sure that the countertop in the kitchen's clean enough to put down the food that people are bringing. But we've just decided that, you know what, we're going to choose the important over what's urgent. You see, the important piece isn't whether your house is clean or not. The important piece is fellowship with believers, fellowship with God, and growing in him. The people that come over, they're part of our life group, they ultimately don't care what our house looks like. And when we go to other people's house to meet with them to talk about Jesus, we don't care what their house looks like either. You know, we've got more dirt and filth in our lives than we do in our houses, and we're more concerned about the dirt and filth in our houses than we are in our lives. And that's what God really wants to tackle. We're going to do first what matters the most. We're going to get in God's word. We're going to pray. We're going to sit at God's feet. We're going to choose, quote unquote, what is better. What is better and more important. And we're going to say no to the distraction of the urgent. Why? Because it's our choice. It's our choice. A couple of action steps and we're done. Number one, take 5 minutes each morning to read scripture and pray. Just do that. Read a verse. Say a simple prayer with God, but get with him. Sit at his feet for a moment. Even before you turn on your phone or check the temperature, Number two, get the Bible app downloaded onto your phone. Get a Daily Bread. Rightnowmedia.com is a great resource. Check that out. And do first what matters most. And make sure you do what matters most on a regular basis. And number three, finally, calendar one important thing this week that has been pushed aside by the urgent. You just need to put something on your calendar that's important and allow it to overwhelm the urgent rather than the urgent overwhelming what's most important. That's Satan's tool, is to use busyness to distract us from what's most important. God is good. Praise be to God. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, and you can do that by getting the cards and the seat backs behind you and fill those out and bring them forward and lay them at the altar area at either side of me here. You can remain where you're seated and just be in a quiet contemplative moment of prayer.